pulling up your notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you nervous that our exes are going to listen to this episode?
Not
I think
at all.
I think mine does.
I think mine does, but she would never admit it.
Oh.
Yes. Winning.
Hi, I'm Susie.
And I'm Randall.
And this is Before the Hangover.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Before the Hangover, the podcast where Susie and I talk about our crazy lives during these crazy times, all while enjoying a drink. Episode 21. Here we go.
Go.
What are we drinking?
Today we're drinking Tyler's Bee's Knees. Wait, Bee's Knees.
Tyler, is it called Tyler's Bee's Knees or is it Bee's Knees? Or?
Okay, so the drink is called Bee's Knees, but I think this has his twist on it because he sent me his recipe.
Oh.
This is by Tyler Fox.
Oh, Tyler Fox.
Foxy. So, this is his drink, but the Bee's Knees is a drink and it's really similar to this. He just adds triple sec to it, which I think is cool.
Oh, triple sec.
You want me to describe it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's two parts gin, one part lemon juice, half part honey syrup, which is just honey and water, and then half part triple sec.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Sounds like a summery drink.
It is. It's like very, very refreshing. So it's putting me in the mood.
Do you what do you really think makes it summery?
I think it's like the lemon and honey. It's like bright, you know, and iced. And
yeah, that sounds like it. But then also if like it was winter and you were like lemon and honey, like, you know, like when you get a cold and then. I feel like we just justify whatever we want to justify.
That's very true.
Like it could be whatever season you want it to be. Whatever you are, whenever you're listening to. Yeah. Just say that it's that season's drink.
That is so true. So the Bee's Knees, just talking about the Bee's Knees cocktail in general, it was made in the Prohibition era. In 1920s by Frank Meyer. So the Bee's Knees. Okay, this is, I thought it was called the Bee's Knees because of the honey in it and like lemon.
That's part, what is it? Why is it called that?
It's because of the slang Bee's Knees. It's like excellent.
It's like, yeah, it's the Bee's Knees.
It's the Bee's Knees.
Yeah.
So
it's
I guess
a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both. But when I was looking up facts about it, that's why. Also, when I was researching it, this is another drink with gin, which we know is the healthiest liquor.
Healthiest liquor.
So I'm like getting so healthy lately.
Yeah, you got a six pack now.
Yeah. Heck yeah, I do.
Heck yeah, she does.
Follow my OnlyFans for that. I found that London Dry Gin has more of like an emphasis on juniper berries, which is what I've been drinking. And you know how I like kind of say like the taste kind of throws me off a little bit?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the juniper berries, but that's also what's the healthiest part of gin. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, you probably don't like the healthy part.
Yeah, I'm like, this is actually too healthy for me.
Yeah.
I want a less healthy gin.
That's awesome. I find it very funny that most drinks were made during the time of history where you weren't allowed to make drinks.
Yeah.
Prohibition was like the most creative time. And that's like goes to show you that like rules actually
should be broken.
Enforce creativity. Like putting restrictions on you makes you more creative. Whereas if you're just free to do whatever you want, you're not as creative.
Yeah. Do you think though?
Yeah. Did you know that Dr. Seuss,
uh-huh.
He used to give himself like the maximum amount of words that he could use for a book. Like he'd be like, I can only do 140 words.
Oh.
And then he would write and he'd be like, I have to fit this whole story within this amount of words.
Yeah.
And that's how he came up with like brilliant
things. His books.
Like one fish, two fish, catfish, blue fish.
I liked that explanation. It was very
brilliant. Yeah, it really does. What are we talking about today?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Today we're talking about love, relationships, long term relationships.
Yeah, we got an interesting question from somebody.
From Ian Hull.
Ian Hull, what was
the
question?
So Ian Hull, he listened to, you know, our podcast, and he said that he heard that we would mention that we were both in long term relationships and we would casually mention it. And he was wondering if there was an episode where we can go more into it, talk about how our long-term relationship was, how it ended, how we've changed as people, and like what we think about that.
Yeah.
Give tips to people who maybe are going through a similar thing. I don't know if Ian Hull just got out of a long-term relationship or not, but.
Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he has a friend who did.
Yeah.
For those people who don't know or who are new to the podcast, me and Susie both got out of 2-year-long relationships right before quarantine.
Mine was longer. Mine was almost like 4.
Oh, shoot.
But yours was like 2. Yeah,
yeah, mine was 2. Yeah. Yours was 4. Very weird time to break up and then immediately go into isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we weren't the only people. It'd be weird if we were.
No.
A lot of people went through this. And so, yeah, I think we talk about our exes a lot. And this is like a good, I think this will be a good episode to explore how that changed us, how that hurt us, how that helped us, how that maybe what we will do going forward. And for some reason, people want to learn from us. So,
No, I think so too. And this will be just like an episode where we can dive more into that rather than, you know, randomly bringing up the topic in other episodes. So, you know, this can be a little bit more dedicated to
that. So we can stop talking about these people.
Yeah, we're going to get it all out now. And then we're never talking about this again.
Yeah, except when we want to.
Except when someone else asks us to.
I feel like I bring up my ex as much as I bring up my mom.
Yeah, you do.
And it's because it's the same person.
Oh, my God.
I've got issues. Let's talk about it. So you got out of a 4-year-long relationship.
Yeah, it was almost 4 years, which is crazy.
Wait, when did you guys meet?
We met... So he's older than me. So he's 3.5 years older
than me. Hell yeah. Do you normally
go for... I like my older men.
Yeah, do you go for older men?
Actually, yeah. I've never... Besides, like, early high school things where you would like someone in your class, I've never actually seriously dated someone who was less than like 2 or 3 years older than me.
Wow.
So they've always been like at least 2 or 3.
I think that's most men.
Would date younger.
Most women date older because like men mature slower.
Yeah.
So like the maturity level is always off.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of true. I feel like my priorities match more with someone that's older than me and I can have better conversations and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think also emotionally, like I feel like men develop like emotional maturity later.
You would think.
Do you know, you except you.
Except
just
for
kidding.
Me.
I'm just kidding.
But that's because I want to be Peter Pan. I just want to be the boy that never grows up. When did you guys meet?
Oh yeah, you asked that question.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
So we met when my senior year of high school. So I turned 18 over the summer and then we met in the fall.
Fellas.
Date high schoolers.
Yeah.
So we started dating the fall of my senior year. So we dated all throughout my senior year of high school and basically majority all my college life until quarantine happened.
Okay. Like when before quarantine? Like when did you guys break up?
It was like a month before quarantine.
So like February?
Yeah, it was like February, like mid-February.
Okay.
And then quarantine happened like March 8th or something.
Yeah. How long did you know that you shouldn't be with him?
Yeah, this is such a good question. Oh, real quick. So we met like through church.
Okay.
And I wonder like if that was something that has to do with it. Like my lack of going to church and like kind of like separating myself from the church. You know what I mean? Because that was kind of like a foundation of like our relationship. You know what I mean? Like we were like virgins for a long time and things like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
I know. It's weird.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's also the best way to get out of a relationship though.
Is
be like, I don't believe in God anymore. And then they're like,
unequally
yoked. Well, I guess I got to break up with you.
He kind of had the same like, not to throw him out, like, or throw him under the bus, but like we would have conversations about it and we stopped going to church, I think,
together?
Our last year.
So
yeah, we stopped going.
So you brought him down too?
Yeah, I'm like, you're going
so
down
like,
with
not
me.
Not only are you going to hell, but this is also over.
Not only am I going to make you go to hell, but I'm also breaking your heart right now.
Sorry, buddy. Welcome to the real world.
I knew that the relationship was probably over a few months before we ended up breaking up, which I would actually say is pretty fair. Between 6 months and like 2 months. I was pretty like confident on it a month or two before we ended up breaking up.
Just a month or two?
Yeah. Yeah, because I felt so guilty. It was one of those things where I kind of realized, like, I don't want to be with you.
Yeah.
And our few years before that were genuinely amazing. Like, I loved him. We talked about getting married. I 100% felt like that's what was going to happen. And then something just kind of switched, like, in my head. And I just felt insanely guilty because he would be talking about it. His family was like, we should start planning the wedding. He's like, when do you want me to propose? And I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. And it like was breaking my heart because I knew it was going to like crush him. So I wanted to, like, I brought it up to him pretty quickly once I started having those feelings.
Do you think he bought a ring?
No, he didn't.
Are you sure?
Yeah. No, because I mean, I saw him every day. I saw him every day for 4 years.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough. That's something we can go into.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why.
That's probably why codependency was really bad.
Yeah. And I was like, well, there's nothing else to learn here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to grow, bye.
I don't actually don't even know what kind of ring I want because I just don't give a fuck. Yeah. So it was perfect. One of those things where he would just be like, you know, pick one out and I'll go buy it. Like, he would just want something that I like.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like every dude wants a girl like you.
Yeah, where it's just like, it doesn't matter.
I think we've talked about this before. Why is it like the dude's responsibility to go pick out jewelry for a girl? It's like, I've never worn that.
Right.
Unless you're Johnny Depp, you've never worn jewelry. And so, like, how are you supposed to know what to pick out?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, I don't know.
I know.
That's what I was scared of. If I ever propose to a girl and then I give her the ring and she's like, yes, but no to that.
What is this?
Yeah.
You don't like my ring, Pop?
I spend a couple $1,000 on that. Thanks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But also being the girl who, like, what if you don't like the ring and you're like, yeah, I guess. And then you're just like, oh, my God, he spent so much money on a horrible ring.
I know. And then you wouldn't be able to tell him.
Yeah.
As a girl, I wouldn't. I would just wear it.
It's just too much stress at that. Ladies, just let us propose to you and then we'll go pick out the ring together.
I'm down with that.
So that's pretty serious. You thought that you were going to marry this person.
Oh, 100%. Like, if you asked me, like, the summer before we ended up breaking up, like, are you going to marry him? I'd be like, yeah, 100%. We were, like, talking about moving in together because I was, like, younger.
Wow.
He was older than me. He's, like, 26 now, so.
Oh, yeah. He's, like, my age.
Yeah. And it started to become really serious because he graduated. He had a real big boy job making a ton of money, and he was like, I can support you. Like, even while you're still in nursing school.
Yeah.
And that just, like, gave me so much anxiety.
That wasn't sexy. That was, like...
No, it was like, oh, my God. Like, that's...
And here's the thing. If you're a dude who has, like, a big boy job and you can do that, some girls do find that sexy. So
some girls want that.
Yeah. Most girls want that.
Yeah. Where it's just like, oh...
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, figure out myself and live my life, and I just felt way too young to get married.
Well, that's good that you dropped out like it's college. That you dropped out of that relationship.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because, like, it was hard.
Some people freaking just go with it. They're like, yeah, I guess. Like,
oh yeah, and I think that was something that I realized about myself, and I think that's kind of obvious. Like, I'm a very easygoing person. And I tend to just go with the flow of things and genuinely be okay with it. Like, even when him and I first started dating, we were just really good friends. And I was, like, super depressed at the time. And he, like, really got me out of that just by being my friend and being there for me. And I kind of felt like I owed it to him. Like, when we started liking each other and stuff, I was like, he kind of saved me a little bit. So I was like, I owe him to date him.
I'm somebody who's pretty easygoing. And I like to be told what to do, you know?
Yeah, me too.
I'm kind of like a little bitch that way. Not anymore, though. I think now, I don't think I would like that type of relationship anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely at the time, I like when a girl's like, hey, do these three things, and then I'll be happy. And I go, okay. And then I go do those three things. And then, or I do those two things, and then I'm like, I know she's going to be pissed, but I can live with this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas, like, some girls, you don't know what they want or what they don't want.
Yeah, and then it's just kind of, like, stressful.
Yeah, so.
Well, I feel like we're both, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, we're both, like, content people. And if nothing is outwardly wrong in a relationship, we'll just stay in it. And I think there were things I can, like, pick apart my relationship now and be like, oh my gosh, this was toxic on both ends, or like, this wasn't good. But in the moment, he didn't cheat on me, he didn't abuse me, he was nice to me, he loved me.
Yeah,
why would I leave? That was, like, my mentality. Even boring. Though, you know,
like, someone cheat on me, please.
Someone please abuse
boring.
Me
do you,
I don't know if you feel that way.
Kind of. The difference between me and you is I felt like I knew that this wasn't going to work out pretty early in the relationship.
Mm.
But this is where that argument comes in of, can you, like, work through it?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say that, like, love isn't easy, so you got to work through love to get to the good part.
I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, but also it's like, but also like, if there's no problems, that's kind of weird too. Like if everything's just hunky dory, just like everything's butterflies and Skittles and Cabbage Patch Kids and ketchup on French fries, and it's just like easy peasy,
right?
Then that's kind of like, okay, what's going on? When are you gonna murder me? You know, right. I think maybe you could get bored.
Yeah.
So now one thing that's kind of interesting from both of us, we both did the breaking up.
Yeah, we did. So, talk about your relationship real quick so we can get like a background. So you guys met, you dated for 2 years.
Yeah. I think I was like 23. We met at a theater.
Okay.
That we worked at.
So that's good. It's like a common based hobby, right? You both like theater.
Yeah. And we worked on a show together. We were good friends before we were a relationship. You know, it was good and bad. You know, I got mugged, you know, in that time. I went through, like, a horrible period in my life. So, like, definitely she helped me through that. And so it's that kind of thing of, like, oh, she helped me get through this. I can't
leave her.
Really leave.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was toxic. I knew it was. Everybody around me knew it was. You know?
Yeah.
fuck it. You know, if she's listening to this podcast, it's like, why?
I know. You know, see, I'm trying to be careful with things with my ex too. Yeah. But yeah, you're right.
But like, that's, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
there's two sides to every story.
Before we started dating, she would hang out with like, my family's very loving and caring and probably the best family in the world. And,
next to mine. Yeah.
Yeah. But also before yours. And, before we even met, my parents were like, that girl likes you. And I was like, no, she can't like me. I was like, I can't get involved with that girl. My parents were like, yeah, but she really likes you. And I was like, I'm not getting involved. If I ever get involved with that girl, I was like, you guys sit me down and tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember when you said this? And I was like, and they're like, okay. And after I told them that I was in a relationship with her, literally my mom and dad sat me down and was like, so do you remember like 3 months ago? And on top of that,
said no.
I didn't go like, no, it's different now. I was like, I legit was like, I know. And I was like, but I like her and I can't stop. The heart wants what it wants. I started singing Selena Gomez songs. I was like, just tell me something I don't know. Tell them it's my birthday. I'm freaking living it up, you know.
Wait, you love Selena.
I do love Selena. I have a pillowcase with her face on it. Now that's a different problem that I have. But so I just knew it was toxic, and I just knew it, and as soon as I met her, I was like, here goes 2 years of my life. Just. So breaking up with with these people, I knew for a long time, and I had a very much felt guilty about it, which I think a lot of people feel guilty when you're in love with someone, and then you're not in love with them. It's tough. It's tough. I did it over FaceTime.
But you guys were long distance.
Yeah, we were long distance. I did it over FaceTime, but I also did it the night before our anniversary.
Dude.
Micro.
I did mine the night before Valentine's Day. So we both got double whammy.
Yeah, we did.
All right, but what happened?
Well, I knew that I shouldn't do it. She wanted me to move to Texas with her.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I saw it coming. And actually, here's the thing. I'm going to admit this right now. I went and saw Louis C.K. in Phoenix with my father. Now, Louis C.K. is a canceled comedian who did some horrible stuff.
Yeah.
Where he touched himself in front of people. He asked permission, but he used his power over them.
Yeah. And power complex.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. And he's up doing stand-up a year and a half later after this. And he's owning it. He's talking about his problem. He's being very vulnerable on stage. And I watched that. And then I was like, that's it. Like, if somebody like him can, like, make that big of a mistake and just own it, like, I should be able to own that I don't love this girl anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I wish I can go do it now. Yeah. So in a way, like, watching someone know who they are, I'm watching them own all their flaws and everything horrible that was with their life.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can do that. And so I broke up with her.
Do you think never mind. I was going to say, do you think that you actually loved her? Because the idea of like loving someone and then just being like, no, I'm not in love with you anymore is so weird. But I guess that also kind of happened to me a little bit, but I don't know. To you, it seems more like black and white.
Yeah, I think I did. I think that's like you think maybe I was love, then it wasn't love.
Yeah,
it was love. We loved each other. We were good for each other for a period of time.
Yeah.
Here and the other thing is I want to make everybody happy and I want to please everybody.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I'm not myself at the beginning of a relationship. I'm the guy that I think you want me to be.
Yeah.
And then 2 years down the line, that expires. There's an expiration date on that. And then I spoil and I go back to who I really am.
Yeah.
And then she's like, who's this guy? Who's this new guy? I don't like this new guy. And I'm like, no, this is the real guy. The other guy was the guy that you didn't know. That's right. Not me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, I liked him better. And it was like, well, I'm not going back.
Do you mention a lot that it was like toxic? Do you want to go into that? What do you mean it was toxic?
It was toxic because of mostly me. It's toxic because of me.
At least you.
I disappear a lot.
Uh-huh.
Ask anyone who lives with me, even my parents, my roommates, my girlfriend. I disappear a lot. I like being by myself. I like going off into the wilderness and not coming back for hours on end without my phone or any technology and then coming back and, you know, doing whatever. I like performing in front of people. So after I perform, I want to go do another performance. It's just never ending. And I feel like when people are like, hey, you said that you would be here at this time, I feel like you're taking me away from the thing that I want to do. I'm right. Like, how dare you? So that was it. I wanted to go do my own thing, and I always wanted to go do my own thing.
Right.
And she wanted to have a 9-to-5 job, come home, have dinner, watch a movie, go to bed. And I was like, I don't want to watch a movie. I don't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I want to stay up.
Yeah, that's kind of how
mine was
too.
Please let me stay up.
Please let me stay up past my bedtime.
Yeah, I want to go do stand-up. And she was like, you should be getting paid to do stand-up. And then I was like,
I'll get there. I just need to do this.
Yeah, I want to go do it. Yeah, but you're better than that. And it's like, well, then what am I going to fucking do? Watch the Kardashians all night? Fuck.
Yeah.
So we watch the Kardashians a lot.
You're like, so that is what we did. We compromised and we watched the Kardashians.
We watched The Bachelor, dude. I got so into The Bachelor with her.
Literally never seen that.
Oh my God, it's such a good show.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, what is the best brand for my balls?
It's Manscaped, of course. Hold up 1 second. Is that a nose pube?
Good thing our partners at Manscaped are here to ensure that you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hairs with their new performance package.
Yeah. So the new performance package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, and included in it is the Weed Whacker, the ear and nose hair trimmer, which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360 degree rotary dual blade system. I don't know what all that means, but wow. It felt manly to say.
So when we got it, I was excited because number one, I was like, this is something I can actually try.
Right.
If I wanted to.
Susie's got a lot of nose hairs. God bless you.
Thank you.
Maybe if you trimmed those up a bit, you wouldn't be so triggered.
You know, I don't have nose hair coming out of my nose or anything.
Right.
But technically, that's something I could stick up my nose and try. I asked you, I was like, do you have a nose trimmer? How do you deal with that? Because I've noticed some guys don't deal with it.
Right.
And you said that you pull out your nose hairs.
I just pluck it.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That and seems
it hurts
so
really bad.
Yeah.
They have the Lawnmower 3.0, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body, and now nose.
If you guys are interested in getting the Weed Whacker or any of the Manscaped products, make sure to use our code BTH. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code BTH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code BTH. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds and make sure your balls look great during the process.
Sexy. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our holes look sexy.
What?
That's what it says.
It is crazy how much, like, people pleasers like us, like, change who we are for other people.
Yeah, you adapt them.
You adapt them, yeah.
And I feel like most dudes do that. At the beginning of a relationship, most dudes are adapting to the girl.
Yeah.
100%. That's like when, like, there's always some kind of shit that men drop, and then the girl's like, I hate all men. They're all liars. It's like, no, they're not they don't lie. They're just trying to be the guy that...
Right.
Like, in order to get a girl, you have to be like, I'm this perfect guy.
Right. Pitch yourself like crazy.
Yeah, and then she's like, okay. And then you're still putting on that act, and by the fourth date, then you're like, when can I drop this act? Some guys drop it on like the fourth or fifth date. Some guys drop it on the fourth or fifth year. Yeah. It's whoever you are.
Yeah.
So getting out of that relationship.
Right.
How do you think that that helped you? Or do you think it
helped you? So going through the breakup. So our breakup, I think the conversation started in in winter time. It was pretty obvious that like my feelings were changing and he knew that. I would kind of bring it up. He would try and change the subject because I think he knew. And I would always try and bring it up. So like our breakup ended up lasting a long time. It was one of those things where we talked about it every single night. I think of like the entire month of January, and it was just like constant crying. It honestly broke my heart too, because I mean he was like my best friend and I loved him and I saw him every day, and it was like really weird to not be with that anymore after we were together for like almost 4 years. So we ended up breaking up, and I was like pretty messed up like all of February and March, but I was still in nursing school. So I remember I would like be driving to clinicals at like 5 a.m. and just crying, like just like my friends looking at me and like knowing I just got out of that. I would just like start bawling in the middle of class because it was just like a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And then COVID happened. So then we were like quarantined, you know, a little bit like a month later. And it sucked because that's like right when I started to feel better. It was like a week before COVID happened. I like started to like go out and be like, okay, maybe I'll like start talking to, I think I like downloaded Tinder or something. Nothing ever really happened with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it
don't
wasn't
say or something. You know exactly what.
No, I downloaded Tinder, yeah. But nothing really did come.
Tinder or something.
I don't really remember.
Christians only. Or
Christians
Jewish
Omegle.
Farmers only. Yeah.
So it wasn't genuinely until I would say the summer that I was better. And like through that, I was just like trying to find myself, you know, because I found so much of who I was and like what I thought I cared about, like with what he cared about. And mm-hmm. him and I adapted so much to each other that like when we broke up, I literally felt like I just didn't know who I was. Like I would just like sit there and be like, I have zero thoughts. Like it was just really fucking weird.
See, yeah, that's sad.
You're like, yeah, that's
you
sad.
Found identity in him. That I think that was actually the best part about quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a lot of people who were in long-term relationships and got out, be by yourself. Like, you shouldn't go out. You shouldn't go do that. Because, like, the reason why you got out is because I don't think you know who you are.
Yeah.
Or maybe you do, but you need to experience that more.
No, I think so, too.
And so I think that even though it was really hard during quarantine, it's the best. It's just like...
Oh yeah, it was one of the like the best things that happened. And like I actually ended up like talking to someone for like 3 weeks, and it was like pretty soon after, it was like a rebound kind of thing. But I was like really, really into this guy because he had like these few characteristics that my ex didn't. Like I took my ex and everything I loved about him and I put it into this new guy plus the things that the new guy had that my ex didn't. And I was like, you're the perfect one, because he had this like one thing that I like wanted in a guy.
Yeah.
You know? And then when he just like ghosted me, it like completely destroyed my soul because I was like, I'll never find love. So I like genuinely don't think rebounds work unless you have like zero emotional connection to them. And then at that point, it's like,
I think it depends on who you are. I think most of the time rebounding feels good, and then you realize that you just scored on the wrong basket. If you're like a type of person who is already down on yourself, like you're already like, I'm worthless, this sucks, like there's no one out for me, that person needs to go get a rebound. It's case by case. Not everything is the same.
Yeah. And I think that's what's hard about like talking about this, because everyone is... So, like, every situation is so different.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
Even when you and I talk about it, like, or when I talk about, like, to my other friends about it, like, just our view on the situation, some people are like, okay, this is a new start. And, you know, I'm going to try and, like, find myself. Other people are like, my life is fucking over. I'm going to try and get them back. Or, like, you know, everyone views the situation differently.
And I think I had this conversation with my little sister, because she went through a breakup too. And she was like, how do you know that it's over? How do you know that like you shouldn't be with this person?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it is. You don't know. You don't know. And so you make that decision, and it could be the right decision. It could be the wrong decision. You're going to feel like it's both, depending on what type of day it is, what kind of day it is, if it's raining outside. And on top of that, you don't know for a long time. You don't know for a year after you've done it if that was the right move. You still don't know. Even when you're with somebody else, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have left that relationship. And that's okay, being in the unknown and not knowing what's good or what's right or what's not. The only thing that like is good is that you're moving.
I kind of agree with that, but also there's definitely a turning point, which I kind of know I knew, and I kind of like think this way now when I'm like talking to someone. But when I was with my ex, during our happy years, you know, where I genuinely thought I loved him and wanted to marry him, I had zero interest in anyone else. Like zero. Right. And like, I don't know if that's just like me. I'm not like a super, it's kind of funny, I have an OnlyFans, but I'm not like a super like horny person or someone who wants like a lot of like attention from guys.
You saw a 1,000 followers.
I'm just like super, I was super content with my boyfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely was not interested in anyone else. I had a lot of guy friends and they were, I thought of them just as friends and nothing else. And then there was kind of like a turning point where I was like, I want something more.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I started to become friends with other people. I was interested in them. And that made me feel super guilty. I didn't act on it. I didn't cheat on him or anything. Right. But I was like, I've never thought this before in the past 3 years we've been dating. And I was like, it made me second guess our relationship, which made me break up with him. And I think that you could still kind of like apply that, or at least I can, because if I'm with someone and I genuinely like them or love them, then no one else is going to like interest me.
Right.
Do you kind of agree with that though? Like if I'm like debating on being with them because, oh, there's this, what if there's somebody better, then it's probably not the person you want to be with.
Yes and no. I think it's case by case again.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever read The Great Gatsby?
I watched a movie. I mean, I read the book, but yeah, not really.
You read the book.
I spark noted it for high school.
And that's a fictional series story, so it's not true. But I think you can fall in love with more than one person. And so that can be very complicated. You could have those thoughts and still love the person that you're with. And as long as you don't act on it, it's okay. Although, if you're a Christian, just thinking about it means that you committed the act. So if you've already committed it, might as well do it. Yay, Christianity.
I don't know. I feel like I've just like changed so much in the past year.
Yeah.
That is just like weird. That was like my mentality like a year ago. I haven't been in a relationship since, so I don't really.
Same.
I don't really know how to go about it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, my ex, he genuinely was a good person and I want the best for him. I do think that like him and I were not good for each other. At least our relationship at the time was very unhealthy. Especially looking back on it. And it is crazy to see like back then, like, again, I'm just such an easygoing person where I can be so, like, depressed and still be like, oh, I'm fine. And I think I'm just used to, like, putting on a fake smile. But even back then, like, there was moments of happiness. But overall, like, I was so self-conscious. Like, I hated myself. And, like, you know, I would, like, cry myself to sleep, like, so often and all this stuff. And, like, I thought I was happy back then. But like looking at how I am now, I'm genuinely like 100 times happier.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with him. I don't want him to listen to this and be like, she was so sad our entire relationship. Yeah. Like there was good moments, but my confidence in myself, you know, me just like owning myself, just like living life how I want to live it, million times happier than like I ever could have been trying to meet his expectation.
Yeah. And that's good.
Yeah.
When I was going through my breakup with my girlfriend, the song Happier by Bastille was on the radio and I'd listen to it. And those words in that song really spoke to me. And I would think about it all the time. And it was all about, I don't know if you've heard that song.
Which one is it?
It's the...
Because I'm Happy.
No, not that.
That's the only happy song
it's
I know.
Lately, I've been thinking... I want you to be happier. It's all about like, I know that you'll be happy if I'm gone.
Yeah.
I know that like, we'll be better off if.
Yeah.
If I leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I'm going to see you smile again. That's like what the song is. The only way
it's going to make you cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really beautiful for us too. The music video is
even sadder because it's all about a dog dying.
Oh no.
But that song kept playing and I was like, yeah, you know, it's selfish of me to keep her in this relationship
mm-hmm.
because there's a guy out there that can make her happy.
Yeah.
Her knees are very easily. I want you to be around sometimes. That's such an easy requirement for a guy.
Yeah.
It's like, be here and hang out with me. And yeah. I was like, you're asking a lot. but I think we should stick together. Maybe we can work this out. And now she's in a relationship. She's in a relationship with a dude. He kind of looks like me. And he looks like he's got shit together. So,
I mean, good for her.
And no, good for me.
Good for you, too.
Because every time I see him, I'm like, see, you did the right thing, right?
Yeah. No, you did.
The right thing.
Yeah. And I think that about, like, my ex, too. I mean, he was just so ready for a whole nother stage of life than I was.
Is he in a relationship now?
Well, no. But also,
maybe you shouldn't have broke up with him.
Also, I know that he seems happier too, you know, and I know that like he will find someone that makes him happier, and I think that we would have just,
yeah,
I don't know, destroyed each other. And we're talking about this, and I know that there's someone sitting there like, what the fuck, Susie and Randall? Like, I've never been in a relationship, or I've always been single and I don't want to be, or okay, I'm single. How do I find out who I am? How to own it?
Yeah.
You know, so how could you like describe that journey at all? Or is it kind of hard for you too?
It isn't hard. You are already it. So just own the fact that you don't know who you are.
Yeah.
That's who you are. You are the guy who doesn't know who he is. And now just dive into that. Be like, I have no idea who I am, and see where that takes you. Because then you'll find more about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That I think the one of my favorite quotes is, "If you're stuck or if you're not stuck, admitting both gets you unstuck." So yeah. It's just like if you're stuck and saying I'm stuck, that just got you unstuck. And so regardless where you are in life, if you're like, I'm single, how do I love myself? It's just like, love the fact that you don't know how to love yourself.
Yeah.
And you'll get there. You'll find it. It's going to be hard. Feel everything. Don't suppress any feelings. Feel everything. If you feel lonely, feel lonely. Be like, I am so lonely. This is who I am.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing that I didn't do until quarantine, was realize my feelings and like let myself feel them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to suppress everything. And it wasn't until quarantine when everything, I'm a very extroverted person. So whenever I had any negative emotion, I'm like, oh, fuck that. I'm going to go see my boyfriend. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go
see
my friends.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't until quarantine where I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I just like sat there and I like felt it. And I'm like, okay, it's okay to feel these feelings. And they made me feel more real, you know? And I didn't feel like a fake like person in a way. Not that I was like fake before, but I think the thing that helped me the most was feeling my feelings, understanding they're real and that they're mine and that it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Because society and social media just makes it seem like you should always be happy and like this is how life should be. And it's not. And everyone's journey is different. And you preach this all the time. Like you should just enjoy the process. Of you getting there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you, like, you should be able to own everything that you want. So, like, if you want to get a rebound, go get a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're like, I shouldn't go get a rebound because that'll be bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not being who you are. Because if you want it, go get it.
Yeah.
But also, if you don't want it, if you're like, I don't want to go out, I don't want it, then don't. And just be like, I'm the person who doesn't want to go out. That's who I am.
Yeah.
And just stop fighting your wants and your feelings. Stop being like, I'm lonely, so I need to be happy now. Or like,
right,
I'm happy and I feel guilty that I'm happy. I shouldn't feel happy. It's like, no, just be that.
Right.
Be that 100% and go all the way, and you'll come out on the other side stronger and more confident in who you are.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. And just like feeling your own emotions and trying to connect with that. Also something like, you and I both like set goals for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you set goals all the time and I have like smaller goals. Do I achieve them? No, but I don't beat myself up about that. And I think that like life genuinely is the process.
Yeah.
Like, and I've talked about this a few other times, maybe in the past episode, but when I was younger, I used to try and set a goal. And if I didn't meet it, or if I didn't think I was meeting it, I would just give up. And I'd be like, oh, I'm a failure. Or I would think like, you know, I will feel successful and proud of myself when I reach that. And then when I did, it wasn't really that fulfilling. And I've realized now, just living in the moment and seeing the small changes that I've been able to make in my life has been way more fulfilling than like this possible end goal that I'm trying to reach.
Yeah.
You know, like the goal doesn't really matter. It's nice to have it there as like a motivation, but it's all about your process and the hard work you want to put into it. Honestly, you can tell, and this is something I realized about life too, is like I can sit there and tell everyone how hard my life is. Like I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. No one really understands it except like yourself. So if like you're not proud of yourself.
And nobody cares.
And no one cares.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. So like if you're not proud of yourself and like if you don't notice the hard work you're putting into it.
Yeah.
Then you're going to feel like shit. Even if a million other people are like, you're doing great.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like shit. Well, and here's the thing too, is once you can fall in love with yourself and your process, then you don't need other people to tell you good or bad.
Exactly.
If you can figure that shit out, then everything else falls into place.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing is setting like maybe small goals to kind of get you motivated if you lack motivation.
Oh, yeah. Because
that was something I dealt. So, for example, this is a good one. I used to have like zero hobbies. I would hang out with my boyfriend all the time and I would do school. And then I started to get into cooking. And I was like, I made a goal for myself each week or a few times a month. I'm going to try and cook a new meal. And like, that was just something that I just enjoyed the entire process of that. And I think that if you find a hobby that you genuinely enjoy, yours could be doing stand-up for free in front of three drunk people.
Yeah.
You know, mine could be cooking a meal for myself and maybe hopefully someone else tries it. But if not, you know, it's for me. Or just any type of small goal that you enjoy doing. And if you love the process, you'll start to love yourself throughout that. Because you'll be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You'll be like, fuck, I just did that.
Yeah.
Like, that's
nobody
sick.
Can take that away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because you love yourself for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, it is, it just is, it is what it is. And
so would you say, like, once you feel like you kind of know yourself, you're comfortable with yourself, you're happy with who you are, then would you feel like ready to get into a relationship? If people are like, okay, I already feel that way, but I still am single and want a relationship.
Don't force a relationship, but again, also own it. If you're like, I'm fucking ready for a relationship, then get on those dating sites.
Yeah.
And fucking go out and try, and you be the best at dating people. That's what you do, but you don't put your self-worth or your value in that person.
Yeah.
Just like, treat it like it's a movie audition. That's like something that like, I think that is very helpful if you're not an actor or someone. A lot of times when you go into auditions, they say, don't act desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want you to get the part.
Right.
And if you go in with that mindset, like, they want me to be this lead role. They want it because then the day's over. They can go home.
Yeah.
Right? So if I come in with, like, okay, this is me. This is my interpretation of the role. I'm going to go in and do this audition. If they like it, then I'm the one. Then they want me to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's great. And if it's not going to work, then that's great. Also, there's another audition next week.
Yeah.
And that's how dating should be. It should be like, I'm not trying to be like, I hope I'm your the one, you know, I hope I'm the one for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Instead of just being like, hey, this is me. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, see you later.
Yeah. I was going to say the exact same thing. Yeah. I agree with that. If you want a relationship, like get on the dating apps, whatever, go on dates. Just make sure to like, you know, truly be yourself because someone will like that. And it is crazy. Like when I was with my ex, I was a different person. And then when I started to be myself and people liked me for that, I'm like, I'm fucking weird, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I think you're funny or I think you're fun or like, I like your weird side. And I'm like, oh, like guys like that. Like I feel like I could be myself, which is so more like freeing.
Yeah.
And it's also important, like, once you find your own hobbies and, like, what you find your worth in, to keep that when if you were to get into an ex relationship. Because, like I said, like, my ex and I saw each other every single day. And if I get into another relationship or when, I think, like, the relationships I was always jealous of, even when I was with my ex, were, like, the ones where they were, like, together, but they would have cute, fun dates and see each other, but also they were doing their own things.
Yeah.
And they just seemed so happy. And I remember being, like, how are you so happy, you know?
Yeah, if I ever got into a relationship, I would definitely need the
space
girl to have her own career and be just as focused on it as I am on mine.
Mm-hmm.
And like really, I actually, the goal of my relationship would be like, the Underwoods, or like, I feel like the president and his like first lady, any president and his first lady, where it's just like, they only see each other at dinner and they're like, how's the day? And they're like, it was good. And they'll be like, I'll be up in the bedroom. It's like, okay, I'll be there in a few minutes. And that's the only interaction they have. And that sounds like the perfect relationship to me. Is they're just there to say goodnight and that's it. And maybe you sleep in separate bedrooms. Oh my God. That's love.
You're so funny.
Freaking love.
I do think, though, obviously we're both single and we're like promoting finding yourself and being single.
Yeah.
But relationships aren't bad. I think that there are good boundaries that need to be set place. Uh-huh. And I think that the relationship will thrive and you will be the happiest and not feel trapped or feel like you're changing who you are for someone. If you just own who you are from the beginning, you set boundaries. This is what's important to me. You know, I like you. I want to see you. But also, I like this. And yeah. I like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I think that
you'll be happy
either way.
I think people need to know that, like, I fucking suck at this. Like, I preach know who you are and, like, I don't need a girl and I don't need, like, a relationship. There's days where I'm like, fucking, I wish I had somebody.
Oh, yeah. No, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, and then that's it. You just go, like, okay, so I want somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I going to do? And so you call 1-800-GET-SEX-NOW and they deliver someone straight to your door.
Deliver someone?
Yeah. And they're of age and they're nice. Like, you want to keep the lights off, but they're nice and they get the job done, and it's only like $5.99 for an hour. So
do it. That actually is something important too.
Yeah.
Because I do get a lot of questions on my social media specifically, how are you so happy, or, you know, like why do you have so much confidence? And I'm like, I genuinely am. I will say this, I am way happier than I have been in the past. Also, like, you know, yesterday I didn't get out of bed until noon and I almost was like, oh, you know, my life sucks. I'm just going to lay in bed all day. Like, I have days like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I have moments of self-doubt or moments where I want to, you know, just have someone where, you know, I think like finding someone will make me feel better. I have those thoughts all the time. So like, it's not like I think this all the time, but my thought process has changed.
When you wake up at noon, you just decide this is going to be a shitty day.
Really? That's how I think, though.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. But that's it. You just go like, this is going to be a shitty day. This is great. This is going to be a shitty... Like, the other episode when I was getting mad at the audio, I wasn't really mad, but I was really mad. Because I was like, I'm going to just get all of my anger out now, and then we'll fix it.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Yeah. So
one of the things... I hate the game golf. Fucking hate the game golf. Golf is the stupidest game ever.
Like the card game?
Golf. Like...
Like golfing. Outside?
Yeah, like outside.
Oh.
The card game.
Well, no one says you could just say I hate golfing. No one says the game golf.
No, but nobody also goes the card game when you hear golf.
If someone said, do you want to play the game golf? I would think the card game. If someone said, do you want to go golfing? I would think like go to a golf course.
Did I say the game golf?
Yes. You said, I hate the game golf. Golf. Fuck.
I hate the game golf. I still wouldn't think card game.
But anyways, continue. You hate golfing.
Yeah, I hate golfing. Because it takes 8 hours to play and
yeah, fuck that.
It's so stupid and it's such a white man's game.
It really is.
And then they're called athletes. Fucking, you walk everywhere. Oh,
you walk everywhere and you drink beer all day.
Yeah. How about make it timed and that counts? You have to finish the whole course in an hour.
That'd be interesting.
Now that's interesting. So, anyways, but my grandpa was a golfer, and one thing that always sticks with me, and I say this all the time, he always says, "What's the most important?" A shot in golf, and he always says the next shot. So like, if you hit into the water, the next shot's the most important shot. If you hit into the bunker, the next shot. If you hit it straight down the fairway, the next shot is the most important shot.
Yeah.
And I always think about that, like, okay, I accidentally got fucked up last night. What's the next most important move for me? The next move. It's not, we're not gonna remember what I just did.
Yeah, we're not gonna stress about it.
We're not gonna go like, oh no, it's just like, okay, this is the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think that it is important to realize, like, you know, finding yourself, trying to be happy, be comfortable in your own skin, finding hobbies, like all of those things that you do when you're single and alone is like, it's a roller coaster. And it really is. And I think that's why what you just said is important.
Yeah. The next thing.
Because it probably seems like we're happy all the time, but.
That's because we are. We are happy all the time.
It's because I got a lobotomy. And do you want the truth?
Yeah, yeah. Just fucking go and go to a scientist and just say, fix
me. Give him a nice pick and say, fix me, please.
Or call 1-800-GET-SEX-NOW. And they'll fix you up.
Why do I feel like that's actually a phone number?
I don't know if it is. What was I going to say? Oh, we got another sponsor.
Ooh.
Somebody else sponsored us. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out. It's Weeza.
Weeza, my man.
Weeza decided to sponsor us. So we've got Weeza, Daniel Still, Derek Ude. Oh, and Julio.
Yeah, Julio's also, new, too.
That's a new one, too. Daniel S., Chris Van De Bunt, Cole Ewing, Kyle Beauchert, and Jake from State Farm. So thank you guys for sponsoring
thank
us.
Thank you guys so much. I'm not kidding. Because of them, we're getting new mics.
Thank you guys for supporting this podcast.
Yeah, we appreciate it so much. I know this podcast was more chill, but I hope that we could give some dating advice, some single advice. Obviously, we're two single pot cups trying to give advice. I'm just kidding.
Speak for yourself.
But we do hope we gave like some good tips or something.
Yeah, and if not, if it was boring, like put this on right before you sleep so that maybe you could fall asleep to our voices and we still get the listens. And
please,
that's important for us.
Anything helps. Seriously, if you made it this far, we love you. Keep DMing us drink recommendations, also topic ideas. Yeah. We really appreciate it. And if you like one of the episodes we've done, we're kind of playing around with different types. So let us know.
We're going all over the map because we really are letting you guys drive this podcast.
Right.
Whatever you guys want us to talk about is what we're going to talk about. So
yeah. So just let us know. DM us if you liked a specific episode a lot and you want to see something similar.
Yeah.
Let us know because we don't really get much feedback on them. So
yeah.
It'd be great to hear that. Yes. Leave us a rating.
Yeah,
and that helps us too.
Rate the podcast because then that gets it out to more people, so more people can be exposed and listen to this while they fall asleep. Because we really want to promote good sleeping.
We will get our Instagram up and running too soon.
Yeah, Instagram will be up and running. We're about to turn this up a notch. So I hope that you guys are ready because we're ready. And fucking know who you are, own it. If you're sad, be sad. If you're mad, be mad. If you're happy, keep it to yourself. No one wants to know. And that's it. That's fucking it.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next Wednesday with a brand new episode.
Yeah. See you later, baby.